Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in part four of Stress Less for the Holidays. Oh, my gosh. And I really love this topic. And actually, I had the privilege of going over to Miss Amy has her own little radio show that she does in Las Vegas, Nevada at UNLV, the campus over there. So, hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm not sure. I can't decide. Let me, I don't even know. What are my choices?
Make a decision.
Okay.
Bad. Not. I can't decide.
I know. I know how you feel. I know you feel. But anyway, we did a 12-minute kind of a pre-talk about this. So if you want to go over to we'll go ahead and get that posted someplace on Facebook. You guys can check that out. It was actually really fun to go to the studio, and they did a Facebook Live at the same time, which was really, really fun. But we're going to talk about decision fatigue. I said decision fatigue on a shopping spree. I love that. If that came out.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you know, just kind of how we'll just kind of dive in. And the you can go to Robin's Facebook. You can go to my Facebook and see. It's 13 minutes, and I think it really turned out really lovely. And what we really focus, and this is the fourth in the series, and I love the topic you came up with. I love how you said it, stress less for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Not a stressless holidays, but stress less. And we've been talking a lot about, you know, being in the present moment and next steps. If you can just focus on stressing less instead of, you're right, the big thing of so many choices. And I think, so let's just posture this, and I'll let you go run with it. I see where we end up. But the two things that really came to us preparing for yesterday and today was two things that really get us in trouble in terms of we're stressed with those anyway, but the holidays just magnifies it. So it's number one that we get decision fatigue. And research says 90 minutes, but, you know, I think you're right. You said this yesterday. That is probably less than that now because of how much information is coming at us and how many decisions we have to make all the time. And so so we've got that, and then the goes hand in glove with it is information overload, and they've even called it information overload syndrome where people are just shutting down. So that's kind of where we're going to posture it. And what are some techniques to help us to be able to be in the present moment when you've got too much information and too many decisions you have to make?
Yeah, so if you can get into the physiological aspects of it for just a second. Because what can really happen with ourselves is like your brain can actually get tired from all the different decisions that are potential things that you have to decide on. And, you know, part of that's into marketing and all the other ways that through media and internet and all these different ways that are trying to get our attention. And it's called a bottleneck for our choices. Mm. It's literally there's all these different things, and it's like think of an hourglass where there's just a small area that we actually have that different information that even can come through to be able to look at all these things. And if you look in the natural world, you know, with animals, I had heard talk about how, say, a lion, you know, is looking at a herd, you know, to do a kill, and they were saying a lion can take, you know, a one-on-one and it has no problem with, you know, getting dinner. But when there's a herd involved, it literally just it can't even function. It doesn't necessarily know what to do. So it doesn't even try because it's in a place where it can't even make the decision of which animal it would choose. So it goes back to just having it be something that's part of just kind of human nature, the way we're wired, I think. So when we had our talk yesterday, you know, one of the things that's really important is just to realize that, you know, we have choices about, you know, what we're going to allow in, how we can look at different things. And I'm really excited about some of the stuff that Amy's going to share in this four-step method that that I've discovered. I think it's really great. So I'm going a little bit more with the information. It's like when your brain is assigned something of equal importance with several different things, going back to that bottleneck, it's like you really get to this place where they call it your attention blind. It's so devastating to the system that everything, you know, you just get fuzzy and you feel kind of paralyzed that you can't even really function. I think of kids with like Asperger's or autism, how, you know, they can just, that everything's already sensitive for them. And then they have this whole thing where they're being asked to make a couple different choices on something, and it just automatically gets into an overwhelm. So I just think that's a really good way of being able to look at that. And, you know, I really wanted to get into the shopping spree thing with this holiday stuff, because literally when you walk into any kind of a store, especially supermarkets and, like, you know, Targets and things like that, there's so many products for us to walk through to be able to look at what we're looking at. And except me, man. I'm just like, do you like? You ask Amy, man. I'm on a mission from God, man. I just like, what we're doing, I'm going there.
A mission from somebody. I'm not sure who's going to.
Mission control.
Yeah, right.
I'm going straight to the T. I don't know, whatever. And get it in my head and be like, you're like, go for it. You know, I think that's the same thing. I think it's like, you know, there's, I read somewhere in an article one time where it talked about, you know, shopping in a grocery store. You take your cart to the aisle that you want, but you don't take the cart into the aisle, you know. You go in and get what you need and come back out, come to your cart. I think that's part of my whole, like, a mission thing. I'm like, I'm not going to stroll through, because that's what they want you to do. Because you literally just get to a point where you kind of lose sense of time and why you're there. And, you know, how many times have we walked into a store and we're like, yeah, I went to, you know, go get something, and then you leave the store and you have a whole bag of stuff, but you didn't buy what you needed, right? I know I've done that. So it's that overload that you really can get. Yeah. So there's just a lot of information and technology and everything that we got in it. So I think the crux of really what we want to talk about is the fact that we can choose to make new choices and reprogram, you know, instead of having the outside world influencing our choices, we can slow ourselves down and look at the things we want to look at. So go ahead, Abe.
Well, I know I've had the experience. I'm a very decisive person. So when I'm not, I know something isn't right, and a lot of things that we're talking about make sense with that. Like, I had the experience one time that I had gone a long time without eating, so there wasn't a lot of food in the brain, and I went to a fast food court where there was a lot of choices, and I literally was walking back and forth and back and forth and could not make a decision, and that was kind of frightening for me. But I think it was, I was, you know, so hungry, and there was so much stimulus. You know, if there'd been like two choices, I'd been okay, but there were like 10 choices. And I think it was just, I didn't have the brain width to make a decision. So I think one of the things with this whole about 90 minutes, and I've heard that many times, that about at a 90-minute point is when you need an hour and a half, you need to stop. So that's, you know, one technique that you can try. Literally set a timer and work with Katie Fitzgerald. Will be on the show next week. She's a functional nutritionist, and she's helping us to create a healthy lifestyle. She supports us on our health quest, whatever that is for you. And what she talks about with creating a healthy lifestyle, that every hour you should stop and go walk 250 steps. And you can know that by, you know, having a Fitbit or something like that. So that kind of supports that. But at least set an alarm for every 90 minutes and at least get up, take some breaths, do something. Or they said this current model, you know, how things change. But right now they're saying that you should get up and move around every hour at 250 steps, which really isn't that much when you start, you know, you have a Fitbit on. You can do that pretty quick.
Walk into the bathroom or walking to go get yourself a healthy beverage or something and then going back, you know.
Yeah.
I know
exactly.
My husband's work, people are like, you know, they're on different floors of skyscraper. They all kind of get up and they all walk the perimeter of the, you know, every hour they're all getting up and walking the perimeter of the building, you know, kind of thing. The main walkways of the office building, that kind of thing. So
but I think that's great. Hey. I think you have to create a habit.
Yeah. They have a little parade or...
Is it, you know, when you're, you know, work with a lot of people in a big building, maybe you just find, you know, save up. I have to go talk to, you know, Joe anyway. And maybe instead of sending an email or calling, maybe I just get up and go over there.
Yeah.
That'd
and the
be
quality
my 250
and step. The interaction, I'm sure, is going to be way different because, you know, you have that synergy with that person when you're right with them as opposed to just, you know, having a, you know, the email message or whatever. You're definitely going to be connecting in a different way. Yeah.
And I think that's
yeah.
very helpful, too, is having that, you know, that connection. So I think that'll help also.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
I think that's really something that we're talking about when you know, you're getting to a place where you just realize you're kind of in this blind place or you're starting to, you know.
Really,
I think the key is to realize that you're even moving into that overwhelm. Not to the point where you're like stuck and you're there. Like you're saying, I was so hungry and I just it scared me that I couldn't really make a decision. You know,
mm-hmm.
and getting to that place is like just kind of knowing that the little things that are getting you to that point, you know, and to feeling what that overwhelm could look like. You're like, oh, I'm moving that way. I need to sit down, slow down, you know. Just like one of the first things into really unclogging this overwhelmed brain is to just catch yourself, sit down, close your eyes someplace where you can be quiet for a few minutes, and just really start breathing and feel the air coming through your nose and filling your lungs and just allowing yourself to really just slow everything down. And you're making that choice instead of having your environment, you know, make that for you. So go ahead, Anne.
Well, and I think you don't want to wait until you have to recognize that you have to do it. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's about, okay, so how do I make sense of that? So what I contend is that you make conscious breathing part of something that you do several times during the day. And one of my favorite techniques, they accredit it to Dr. Wild, but I'm sure that it's, you know, a lot of people have done this in yoga and different things. But I like, it's called the 4-7-8. And what you do, and let's just do it with our peoples right now, wherever you are, whatever time, whether it's today live or later, we're going to breathe into the count of four, hold to the count of seven, breathe out to the count of eight. Research says that it's really important that you do it three times, so let's do it one more time. Breathe into four, hold to seven, breathe out to eight. Now I'm going to combine another technique. HeartMath at heartmath.org talks about the heart breath. And so what you could do with the 4-7-8, because I think it's easy to remember and you want to teach your friends so they can all help you to remember to do the 4-7-8 and maybe set an alarm on your phone to do that once or twice during the day. And so that with the heart breath, especially with Thanksgiving coming up here pretty quick, what you want to do is you want to think of something that you're really grateful for. That's what we'll focus on now, so a person or something that's happened in your life or something that's coming up that you're really, really grateful for. And so what I want you to do now in this next 4-7-8 is I want you to breathe that into your heart. So now we're going to breathe that thing that you're really grateful for, that person, that moment, that thing that's happened, breathe that into your heart, count of four, hold to the count of seven, swishing that around your body, feeling that gratitude, that thankfulness, and breathing out. And what that does is that kind of helps clear things out. It kind of creates a new set point. So if you do that consciously a couple times during the day, it kind of helps you to reset, like doing that 250 steps will do. So if you're combining breathing and the 250 steps on an hourly basis, you really got a fighting chance of staying in the present moment, of staying, taking conscious action instead of being caught up in that reptilian brain that's just reacting to everything.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So with the four steps of method, you've done the breathing, you're in this place of feeling calm, you've got your eyes closed, and then you think of some kind of a category of something, and when you open your eyes, you're going to look for that. So an example would be look for things that are blue. And you just take your time and walk, you know, go around your environment and look at all the different things that are blue. And you can say to yourself, I see a sign that's blue. I see, you know, an animal, you know, a stuffed animal with blue, that kind of thing. So it's really slowing it down. I was telling Amy before we got on, you know, if you've seen the current Christopher Robin, there's a great scene in there where Pooh and Robin are in a train together. and Robin's trying to study, and or Christopher, he's trying to study, and Pooh's looking out the window, and he's trees, water. He's naming everything as they're going by in the train. And I think it's just a really good model of, like, how pleasant that is. He's like, you know, you're thinking of that pleasant thing. You're being mindful in the moment of just slowing it all down and looking at the things that you really like. You know, I'm going to look and notice the things that I like, and I'm going to name them and be with that for a second and enjoy looking at it. I think that's a really great exercise of being able to look at that. And then, you know, you can close your eyes again and say, okay, I'm going to look at things that are round, that kind of thing. So it's really kind of just showing you to have a different sense of perspective when you're looking at different things. And again, it's your making the choice instead of your environment making it for you and being able to slow that down. And then the next thing would be to identify something in your surroundings and having it be something where you're allowing yourself to have a relaxed focus with it. Because there's been studies of people that are focusing on, there was a thing they had in a high school one time where this idea was presented to a bunch of kids, you know, students, and they said, you know, focus on all the people who have white shirts. And they were, you know, everybody was looking at the white shirts, and then they purposely had somebody come out dressed like a gorilla, and he basically banged on his chest, and then they walked out, and it was like half the people didn't even notice that the monkey, you know, the gorilla, person in the gorilla had even shown up. Because it's just right. Everything else blurred because they were just so focused, seeing that they were, you know, wanting to have as their intention. It's just really interesting, the fact that, you know, that kind of a phenomenon can go on. It just shows you the power of our intentions when we put something out there.
Well, and selective perception, right? When that's
right.
One thing, you know, with Thanksgiving being a couple of days from now, let's talk a little bit about gratitude. And one of the, if you haven't done this, I highly recommend it. I can't imagine Robin won't also, but to do a gratitude journal. And what I recommend is you don't do it at the end of the day, but you have a little journal that you take with you all day long, and you document several things throughout the day. The problem with waiting till the end of the day, you're trying to think back, what was I grateful for, and what was that moment? But if you're doing it throughout your day, it keeps you, for me anyway, it keeps me in that lookout for gratitude instead of the lookout for things I'm not happy about.
I think, too, you know, it's a great practice to have people that you can feel comfortable with where you actually, you know, have random, you know, periods where you're grateful. I have a few friends where we do that where, you know, we might be eating or something like that, and one of us will stop and look at each other and say, isn't it a beautiful day? Or doesn't this food taste really good? Or, gosh, it's so nice being able to hang out with you guys. You know, we just would randomly, it's, you know, coming from that, you know, that statement of gratitude of, you know, looking at a person or the, you know, situation or whatever you're experiencing together and being able to acknowledge that in the sense of gratitude. Just something that it helps everybody just to slow down and be able to look at that. It's like, you know, one thing I love about Hawaii is when you go there, it's pretty much something that the locals all do is at sunset, everybody stops and they watch the sunset. And I just love that. I think it's just so great that people pull off the side of the road or wherever they are, and they just take about, you know, 10 minutes to watch that final part of the sun, you know, go into the sea. And it's just beautiful. I think it's just a great practice. So it's just things like that.
So one thing that I work to do is when I try to teach the, you know, stopping and breathing, doing the heart breath to any group that I'm working with. And I'm starting to teach the 4-7-8 because people seem to really resonate with that. And then add the heart breath with it. But what I want to support everybody who's listening is at noon, wherever you are, stop and take a nice deep breath. And if we get as many people as possible doing that, it doesn't really matter, right, with the time zones or anything. But when we're all consciously at noon, wherever we are taking that breath, know that there are so many other people doing it with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm powerful, that is true.
Well, that is an easy, simple thing that we can all do.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk a little bit about intuition and how that helps with the decision-making?
Yeah, so Amy and I were talking about this actually before we even did her show yesterday about intuition. And I know for me, One of the first things that really helped me was a book called Real Magic by Wayne Dyer. And Wayne talked about this whole concept of, you know, we get these little ideas of prompting urges within ourselves, like, I should go get a drink of water, or I should call that person, or, gosh, I need to write these ideas down. I mean, you know, it's those things that when you take the time to actually do all those little things, it's very cumulative. It makes you, it's like, you know, pumping a muscle when it comes to your intuition. You have that small voice that's really there to encourage you and help you to be having, you know, having your world get very connected with your, you know, with your thoughts and your sense of things. And the more you do it, the stronger it gets, and it really can help you to be something that just really helps your life to just flow, because you're trusting as you go along with those things, the things you're sensing that are, you know, like, yeah, I need to do that. And you take the time to do that. I've been really teaching that to my daughters, and especially my younger daughter, Katie. She's been really good about that lately, where she's just like, I sensed that I needed to do that, so I did. And, it, you know, it winds up, like, she's got a lot more synchronicities and flow going on in her life now, because she's allowing herself to be able to do these things. Just like if you have a dream at night, and we talked about that with Amy too, you have these dreams and you have these ideas that pop in your head, and it's one of those things where it's just like, gosh, it's so strong and vivid, there's no way I would forget that. But, you know, you fall back asleep, and then you wake up in the morning and go, gosh, I had an idea, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
You totally forget about it. So it's like that. That's why I love that gratitude journal. I think that's,
well, and then interesting how you phrased it was that all these synchronicities are happening for her now because she's doing this. What if those are happening all the time? We're just not noticing them. And so if we don't notice them, how would you react to them and take advantage of them?
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost like, for me, I would think that the gratitude and in your intuition could be a really great journal combination together.
Absolutely.
Writing those ideas down. Yeah.
So I think that's taking it to the next level. So one of my favorite exercises in working on your intuition, would you like to share that, or do you have another one? We talked about it yesterday.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
The yes or no question.
Oh, go ahead.
So this is if you want to practice your intuition in making decisions, and I believe that, you know, usually on a pro and con list, and, you know, as a critical thinker and a good decision maker, there's lots of great effective tools. And I also believe, you know, the left and the right brain, the head and the heart need to work together. And so intuition is just as important as that critical thinking, and giving it a seat at the table. Well, it's like a muscle. You have to practice it. Some people, I think, are better at it than others to begin with, but I think for most of us, it's kind of trained out of us. So here's a really simple thing you can do. So I want everybody to think of a question. The answer is a yes or a no. And what I want you to do is imagine in your mind's eye, ask yourself the question, and imagine a stoplight, and what color is it? So did you have one, Robin, that you were playing with?
No, I was doodling.
You're doodling. All right, so why don't you go ahead and do that right now and see what comes up. You don't have to tell us what the question is.
Well, just to make it simple, because of Thanksgiving, I'm like, should I have turkey or ham?
There you go. And what did you get?
Turkey.
How did you know? Which was that? Which was the turkey? I mean, you know what I mean? Which was?
My turkey was the green light and the ham was the red. So.
All right. So you played it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
She played it very specifically with two choices, a green or a red. I think beginners, she's a little bit more advanced in this, but as a beginner, I would pick, should I go to Joe's house for Thanksgiving? And then, you know, take breath and look and see, do I get a green or red or a yellow? And then that's asking some other questions, especially if you get a yellow. And then if it's a choice between Joe's house or Susie's house, then you would ask about Susie. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The way you did it, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think that's just a little more advanced instead of a yes or no.
Yeah, because like I went to go visit Amy over the weekend, and I wanted to go get gas. I mean, you just do it with a lot of different stuff, depending on what's going on. So there's a couple different ways that I could get to the freeways to go ahead and head out. and I wanted to get a higher quality gas because I wanted to, you know, clean my engine and stuff while I was driving. So I focused on both the gas stations, and then I went to see which one I felt like I was focused on, one to see if it felt like a pull, like I was getting pulled in that direction. And then I went to the other one to see if it was, you know, I didn't have that pull. And that's basically how I decided which one I should go to. So that's just, you know, another way that you can do that. It's just kind of being sensitive to yourself when it has a sense of like, you know, where do I, what feels better? What feels more, you know, more of a strong connection, that kind of thing. Something may be a pull. It's like, how do I feel connected? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a great way of doing anything. You know, it's like when you were like, you're shopping, you know, and you have two different things, you can like hold each one to your heart and just say which one feels more right. You know, so part of that's getting very accustomed to your, you know, your body being able to sense that, and depending on what, you know, which one, you know, feels like, you know, knowing that I have to make a choice.
Well, and being able to, you know, really start listening to your body. You know, I think we talked about this the other day too, especially with Thanksgiving and the food thing, and Katie's going to talk to us more about that next week, about the whole food thing and the holidays and all that. And a lot more than that, but we're so checked out from our bodies, I think, at least a whole lot of people I know are, that they're eating things that be making them sick. They are overeating or maybe even undereating, and in eating at times that maybe don't really give them energy. So it's really what I want to support people on is really listening to their body, because your body really knows what it needs if you allow yourself to really hear it.
Mm-hmm. It's very powerful. Very, very powerful. You know, when you can, you know, just know that it's there to assist you and help you in everything, you know, no matter what the question is or, you know, anything that you want to, you know, put out there. And I think, you know, part of that is just ask questions and, you know, see what's feeling right. You know, you could even do that with your journal. It's just like, you know, sit down and write a question. I think it's great, too, because sometimes in learning how to do that is, you know, ask, you know, take your journal and have like one page and allow yourself to just write about it.
Right.
But sometimes things will come up that you didn't even know that you felt or had an idea about something. And, you know, putting that out there just to see what would come up, it can be very interesting. It can be very, very interesting.
Well, I think that's the key that is, you know, is to not just answer the standing answer that you would always do, but really challenge yourself to come from that beginner's mind and answer this from that place. Not what is it that I always do, but just in this moment, what am I really getting about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even asking yourself, you know, with that, you know, does that feel right? Does that feel right for me? Because sometimes, you know, through peer pressure, family pressures, and everything else that we have going on, you know, we'll choose the answer, like you said, of something that we've done forever just because it's been more the status quo. But when you kind of step back and allow ourselves to be in this place where we can really be more inquisitive about, you know, what's right for me, and just kind of see what comes up. Not that, you know, you can't find compromises with what everybody else has got going on, but it really helps you give a sense of freedom and voice for yourself you may not know that you've even had. I think that's exciting. Go ahead.
So let's talk a little bit just about, you know, Thanksgiving and moving forward from with that.
Yeah, so just, you know, take, you know, it's like especially when we're coming into, you know, sometimes, you know, you always hear about people saying, well, you know, it's the one time of year that I'm going to go to my family, and there's always these conflicts and things like that. I think something that can be really helpful with that when it comes to, you know, doing this decision fatigue is just, can I go to, you know, my family and really be in this place of just like, how are you? And just really wanting to know that, you know, you actually care. You know, I'm going to care about what's going on for them, even though, you know, they wanted to tell me about when they went out and bought some shoes, and I could care less about the shoe purchase that they made. But what if it were your shoes? You know, put yourself in their shoes for a second, literally. And just, you know, and just make it this soulful, you know, play with the whole shoe thing, of experience of just being really present and compassionate with somebody and just really coming from a place that you really do care. And maybe that could be the practice of in these relationships when you go in for people. Just to know that, you know, you can have this more fulfilling conversation and connection with people, but just realizing, you know, when I come into a party or whatever, I may be bringing old expectations of who they've been instead of who they are now. And I can, if I can come from the present and just like Amy was saying, have this beginner's mind of like, who are you? And who are you now? And what do you care about? And what's going on in your life? It could be this totally different experience with this person because you're allowing yourself to get to know them in who they are today. And I think that's a great way of being able just to be present and really just being able to really see and look at everybody, you know, with fresh eyes is a really great way of being able to approach that. So anything else you'd like to add with Amy?
I'm grateful for my relationship with you and the show, and I'm grateful for all the great lessons that we're learning by doing this together. So thank you for that, and for creating this and share, you know, my space and continuing to play with me as we go.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for that all as well, and we're grateful for the people that listen to the show and really let us know how they're feeling about that, and just encourage our whole international audience. Why, we've been doing this for 6 years now, and it's hard to believe that when we first started that, you know, it would be what it is today. So I really want to thank everybody for their continued, you know, being a cafe member and just doing all that. So I really want to wish everybody just a wonderful holiday season. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, and maybe it's more about the company than the meal. Maybe it's more about being able to really laugh and share just a wonderful day with the people that you really love. I love Thanksgiving because, it's, like I said, it's the day to be thankful for what we have and just all the wonderful blessings that there are in the world. And we have so much to be grateful for.
Depends on the food. I might be really grateful for the food, unless it's not that great. Then I'll be more grateful for the people. I don't know.
I'm just going to get my good piece of pie, and I'm good to go.
You know, if it's scalloped potatoes that are really good, I'm sorry. I don't care who else is at the table.
The truth comes out. See, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know it's true.
You know it's true. So. Well, you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And next week, like I said, our Stressless for the Holidays Part 5 is going to be our food guru. Miss Katie Fitzgerald will be joining us. And just a little bit different way of looking at food. You know, she loves to talk about food as medicine. Food is something that really, too, it's more than just sustaining us. It's something that really can bring us to just a totally new way of just relating to ourselves and to the world. So it's going to be a great conversation, and that'll be something that we can really add to our holidays. So have a great week, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.